All right, here we go. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Competent Conversations podcast. My name is Taekwon, and I'm here to help enlighten you guys so that you can be a better version of yourself. So, it is about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I know what you're thinking. Why the fuck are you awake right now? So, I just came from the gym not too long ago. Ran into one of my friends from high school who is also an avid podcast listener. More specifically, the Competent Conversations podcast listener. And I pretty much got bullied into putting out a new episode tonight. So here it is, 3 o'clock in the morning. I hope you guys enjoy it. A few episodes ago, Rashad and I, we talked about the intricacies of stress and how they have different types, and we really delve into that kind of that conversation regarding how stress could be avoided and how you can live a life with less stress, right? So if you guys missed that episode, feel free to go back to it and check it out. But today, I do want to talk to you guys about peace of mind. So, as it so happens, I was on the phone with one of my friends named Chad, and we were talking about stress and how, more specifically, how I don't typically go out to buy cookies. If they're in the household, I'll eat them. I try not to, but hey, stuff happens. But if I'm walking through the store and I see a pack of cookies, I look at the price and like, ew, how dare they charge $4 for this? I mean, I literally have to have like such a bad day to want this comfort food if I'm buying it. Or I have to have such a great day in which I'm like, you know what? Today is so great. The only thing that can be better or make this day better is if I had some cookies or some ice cream or whatever. So within that conversation, I started thinking, I'm like, you know, I haven't had a bad day in a long ass time. Haven't had a really good day either. Haven't had that superb day as well. But I've had an ongoing streak of just straight good days. I'm going to go ahead and knock on wood because I hope that doesn't end. But the main reason why I've had good days is ultimately because of the low amount of stress. The reason why I have this low amount of stress is because I have this peace of mind. So, my demeanor is like laissez-faire, live and let live. I don't really interfere with too many things that don't involve me, right? I've said it before in a couple of different episodes, but I'm gonna go ahead and say it again for you guys. You can't control every situation, but you can control how you respond to it. You are in full control of your actions. And a lot of times we tend to let these external forces influence our attitude. And in those moments, we relinquish our self-control. So how do you regain self-control? First, you have to define what it is you truly want. See, I can come on this podcast and I can tell you how to change your life and how to live a simple life, but you also have to want it, right? You can lead a horse to water, you can't make it drink the water. So you have to be willing to make the change. I don't want you guys to just sit there and contemplate it, like actually want more for yourself. Define what peace of mind means to you. And then you got to figure out how you can be realistic with that goal. So, like if you got kids, I don't want you saying peace of mind is not having kids, right? Be creative. Involve the kids in activities that allow you to find that peace of mind. I've seen this meme somewhere on the internet, where a father told his kids to draw him while he poses, and in the picture you see the kids drawing the dad who sleep. Obviously, that's not it could be realistic, but obviously, you know, kids have short attention spans, so you don't want to do that. But the idea is great because it's creative and there's peace of mind in that picture. So you gotta be realistic with your creativity. That's all. The other thing is we tend to have clutter. And clutter affects our peace of mind. Sometimes we feel like we have this endless list of chores, or our thoughts are constantly racing and we get overwhelmed. So one of the things that helped me simplify this part of my life is called minimalism. Minimalism is the idea or the principle of living a more meaningful life with less. Chad, the same person I talked to about the cookies, I talk to Chad all the time, but he put me onto this lifestyle years ago. And when he put me onto it was just like an idea he came across. A few years after he introduced me to the idea, I found this podcast called The Minimalist. And after listening to maybe 10 or 20 episodes, I just kind of engulfed myself in their principles. They have this thing called a packing party. And what you typically do is you pretend you're moving. You pretty much pack up everything except for the essentials, underwear, toothbrush, things like that. Obviously, you're gonna leave your TV up because you use your TV every day, right? So you pack up a lot of different things that you don't typically use, and you pretend you're moving. Within the course of 90 days, you start to take away certain things from that box that you need. The goal is anything that's not used within 90 days is something you don't frequently need, something you don't frequently use, something you can be without. Now, it goes without saying, you're not going to put summer clothes in this box and say, I'm not going to use it if you're in the winter. Seasonal clothes don't count. There's certain things that we pull out for certain occasions, those don't count either. The main thing is the daily clutter, the things that we see that we don't interact with on a daily basis. So, after the 90 days are up, whatever remains in that box, you donate it, you sell it, you get rid of it by any means necessary, because this is what's cluttering your household. So, as far as putting things into perspective here with minimalism, it may not be for everybody, and I've adapted some principles, right? I haven't fully immersed myself in the ideal. I haven't seen how the minimalists live, but the way they talk about their lifestyle is that they'll have certain things that mean value to them. So the one guy, Joshua Fields Milburns is his name. He has this one jacket that he really favors. The other co-host is Ryan Nicodemus. He has like this backpack that he really favors. And they only use that one thing that they really value. Maybe they got it from in a contest, or like, I know the backpack they said it was pretty much some designer made the backpack and he ended up stop selling them. So that backpack is now one of a kind. So it has that value attached to it. So things like that, like they find meaning in certain things. And then you kind of just, you keep that item because it means something to you. Meanwhile, you don't go ahead and collect backpacks. You already got one that does a job, therefore you keep that. So once I started getting into this principle of minimalism, I realized that I started putting my values in the wrong things. The biggest thing that I had collected was the retro Jordans. A lot of people collect them, and I realized it's just a waste of money. At one point, they meant something, right? When we were kids, or when I was a kid, I'm not going to speak for everybody. When I was a kid, it meant something to me. It was like a status quo, like you had to have the latest Jordans. And as I grew older, I realized that I was just collecting them out of this hobby that I've had instilled me with me when I was a teenager. It meant nothing. I realized that the footwear was just that. It's just footwear. I mean, any shoe could do the job. The Jordans don't make you run faster. They don't make you dunk. They don't do anything special. It's just footwear that we walk around with and we try not to crease. We maintain so much care for these Jordans, right? You don't want them to get scuffed. You clean them all the time. It's like we're constantly maintaining them, just so we can say I got on the latest and the greatest. In reality, sneakers are meant to get dirty. They're meant to be creased. They're meant to be ran in, you know? So to me, I started looking at it as like, why am I still doing this? And then the prices were going up as well. So at a certain point, I decided if I'm really going to embrace this principle of minimalism, that has to be the first thing I get rid of. Because I've put so much stock into these sneakers that they were sitting on a pedestal. These were the only things I would never donate because I've collected them for so long. Once I got rid of them, I knew everything else would be simple. When you listen to the Minimalist Podcast, they have this mantra that they say at the end of every episode. And it goes like this. Love people and use things because the opposite never works. The idea here is that things are supposed to serve a purpose or bring you joy. So I had more Jordans than I needed, and I could only wear one pair at a time. I didn't have the joy of ownership because they were cluttering my room. Not to mention, they also were increased in price. Around the time I started donating Jordans, I started wearing Vans more as well. And Vans, they were just always on sale somewhere. Or the most expensive pair I would buy would be like $50. So if you're buying a pair of Vans for $50 and a pair of Jordans costs $200, simple math, you can buy four pairs of Vans for the same price as one pair of Jordans. Now, again, with minimalism, you try to own what you need at the time, right? You try to put value in things that you can use. So I'm not saying I'm going to go ahead and buy four pairs of Vans, but what I'm saying is, that would be a better use of my money. I would get more bang for my buck, in a say. So, I started getting rid of these unnecessary clothing items. And then I started like cleaning up my room a little bit more. And I started realizing like, I may have had books, like textbooks from high school that I'm never going to read again. Textbooks from college that I'm never going to use again. A lot of times people tend to, they tend to go through all these different grade schools and colleges and everything like that, and we keep those books, and what we end up doing is putting them in a library because we have this thought that we're going to go ahead and use them again one day, just in case I need to find this information. Well, that may have been good years ago, but we have a cell phone now where everything is right at our fingertips, so just in case doesn't apply to us anymore, right? And then we have all these souvenirs that we get from vacations. You have the shot glasses, you got the flask, you got the pint glasses, the 32-ounce cups from amusement parks, and all this other stuff. All this clutter, for what reason? You can only use one cup at a time, right? So things like that, I started looking at it like, do I really need these? I think I was collecting comic books at the time as well. Tossed them as well. It wasn't like once you read a certain book, if it doesn't have that reread value, there's no point in keeping it. So I literally just started cleaning up everything to make my room as simple as possible. Only the things I would interact with would be the things that I would keep. After the room was done, I would move on to the car. Now, I was never a person to keep my car dirty, but I know that the car is one of those places that we frequent more often than not. So things tend to happen. You tend to eat fast food in your car. Fries tend to drop. You tend to go shopping and receipts tend to drop. You have passengers, and they drop things, and there's coins all over the place. You're on long road trips, and you drop water bottles and all this stuff like that. Eventually, these things start to add up, and because we're so used to being in and out of that car on a day-to-day basis, some of these things become like fixtures in the car, where we see it, but we don't tend to act on it because we've adapted to the presence in our car. So I forget what car I had at the time, But I remember like getting like this garbage bag and just putting everything in there, from paperwork, from like I don't know whether it were bills or tickets or whatever, just throwing everything in there. I remember I had a CD collection. I threw that in there as well. I wasn't using CDs anymore, so like it was like obsolete. Like, why am I carrying this junk around? Like, I bought the CDs and they meant something to me, but if all the music is MP3 now, there's no point in carrying the disc. Garbage. So whatever I could find, I would just throw in this garbage bag. I think I used to have like a lot of sneakers in my car as well, because I would just change sneakers on the fly, depending on the outfit or whatever. I just tossed everything. So once the car was clean, then I would go to the car wash and I would vacuum everything out, clean it from the outside as well. And I started thinking about it. The reason why our cars get messy is because our way of thinking, right? So that's like another thing that we can declutter later on. I'll get into that a little bit more. But it's like we tend to just let things happen. Again, we relinquish control of certain things. And minimalism was like a way of like regaining that control. I always felt like once I was in a room or a living space that was filled with clutter, it kind of messed with my thoughts. It kind of messed with my vibe. Like, I couldn't function the way I really wanted to. So I started thinking about how I can set up certain habits so that when the living space was to get to a certain level of messiness, or the car would get to a certain level of messiness, I would be able to enforce those habits and then keep it clean. It was just like a maintenance habit. So now what I do, I mainly carry my gym bag in the car. I may have a hoodie or two, and that's about it. When I see more things adding onto my car, because I know there's a certain limited amount of things that should be in that car, once I see more things starting to form clusters in my car, I clean it right away. I signed up for a car wash membership, so I'm always at the car wash. I only keep a certain amount of, excuse me. I have a certain amount of passengers that travel with me. So if I'm going on a family trip, only four people could fit in the car. But more times than not, it's only somebody else in the passenger seat. So when I go to the car wash, I love it because I go there, I go through the wash, and when I do the vacuum, all I gotta do is vacuum the first two seats. I don't ever have to worry about the back seats because nobody ever sits back there. And more times than not, I only just vacuum the driver's seat. Meanwhile, when I'm at the car wash, I see all these other people doing all this kind of detailed work because they don't go to the car wash often enough, or because they carry a lot of passengers, or whatever the case may be. I'm in and out within 5 minutes or less, just vacuuming that one seat. So something like that, it makes life simpler, right? There's less things to worry about. And when you have less things to worry about, your mind isn't as cluttered. So when you think about like your living space, some people tend to, I don't know, just hoard cups, dishes, plates, forks. A lot of people eat in their room and they tend to just hold all this shit in their room. I feel like if that's the kind of person you are, you should invest in the paper products, the paper plates, plastic forks, paper cups, things that are disposable, because at that point in time, you can just put it in the garbage. You keep your room clean. One of the habits I instilled was like making my bed as soon as I wake up in the morning. Make my bed, you put your clothes in the hamper and you look around your room and you see what's missing, or you see if there's anything out of place. Because once you have that certain level of cleanliness, you have a certain level of organization as well. And when things are out of place, you can start saying, all right, I need to reorganize, I need to reclean, I need to vacuum, whatever, because you start to see what's out of place. That's the thing that we got to adapt to. So now you got the car clean, you got the house clean, and now it's time to start cleaning these thoughts and start formulating these habits that would help you be more productive, I guess. So Once I started doing that, I started thinking about how else can I use these habits that I've enforced. And you don't have to just limit it to things, right? You can branch out into finances. You could branch out into thoughts. You can branch out into social media. You can branch out into people. The truth is, you can declutter all of these things. What happens is, when you maintain this balance of decluttering and maintaining, the clutter that you started to prioritize is what matters to you. So you stop buying junk. You stop buying souvenirs. You start investing in things that matter to you. Maybe you don't buy that excess amount of clothes anymore because you only favor these five outfits or whatever the case may be. The things you own provide that true value to you. You don't start collecting things because they look good on the fireplace mantle. So now let's relate this back into peace of mind. So in a nutshell, when it comes to communication with people, I try to have these positive vibes, right? These good vibes throughout the whole day. When I find myself around people who don't mesh with what I'm putting out, then I try to limit that communication with that person. So if I'm all positive vibes and somebody comes with negative vibes, they may be negative for the moment, or they may be always negative. If they're negative for the moment, I may try to help them out, give them some positive energy, some positive reinforcement, let them know things are going to be okay. I may try to help, but if I realize that the help isn't going anywhere, if I'm just talking to a brick wall, I stop helping because I'm not going to let you bring me down. If I'm working hard to stay at this positive level all the time and I let you bring me down, I just relinquish control. It's not going to happen. If you're always negative, I'm just not going to talk to you. It doesn't benefit me in any way. And that's one of the things we got to worry about in our day-to-day routine. Because energy is transferred. So you want to try to avoid those people who constantly transfer that negative energy towards you. Some people love it. Some people love doing that. That's what they live for, So we gotta be the opposite of that. The other thing is my social media, I kind of limit it to people who are like-minded. When I go on Instagram, I want to see things that motivate me. The common misconception with social media is that you have to follow your friends or the people you've met throughout your whole life. That's whack. If they're not benefiting you, you don't have to surround yourself with that. I get it. Facebook is there with like the collection of all the people you may possibly speak to, but nobody speaks to each other because it's fucking weird. And that's what it comes down to. We add people so we can look at how they're doing, but we never engage with them. It's pointless. You can also minimize your finances. A lot of people may think that's like the hardest part. It's actually one of the easiest things to do. So once you've gone through the first couple of steps of decluttering your personal space in a sense, decluttering your finances shouldn't be that hard. So while listening to the Minimalist podcast, they put me onto the Dave Ramsey podcast. Dave Ramsey is one of the best financial gurus I've ever heard from. So when I tune into his podcast, it kind of helps me regulate my funds, right? The fact of the matter is, you have to be intentional with your money. You also got to be intentional with your goals. There's so many times we just say things just for the fuck of it, and we don't hold ourselves accountable. You have to be intentional. So to minimize your finances, you start with a budget. That's going to help you declutter your expenses. It'll show you where your income is going, and it's also going to help you tighten up a certain area so you have more control over your money. Now, remember earlier I said, if you can't control the situation, you can change the way you react to it. In saying that, I also said, find the things you can control. And money is one of those things you can control. A lot of people might argue and say, oh, well, my rent's due every month and, that's not something that's in my control. But kind of is, isn't it, though? Like, nobody forced you to move into that location and pay that price. You chose that. You put yourself into that situation. So now, moving out of that situation to another location, that would decrease your rent if you're looking for that set price, right? And I'm sure there's an excuse to that. You can sit there and say it's hard to move to another location, or you can't find what you want. All right, that's fine. But here's the thing. If you keep finding excuses, that means you're not ready to grow. I'm going to say that one more time. If you keep finding excuses, that means you're not ready to grow. Because you're not expanding your thought process. You're thinking of ways you can't accomplish something as opposed to ways that you can. I understand that fixed expenses are challenging in the budget, but you know what? Because you know what time they come out, because you know how much they are, it kind of makes it a little bit easier to allocate the funds for that purpose. So while rent may be difficult to change, it shouldn't be difficult to prepare for because you already know the exact amount and the exact date. So with that budget, you're just allocating the funds on a certain basis, whether it's weekly, bi-weekly, or daily. Now, one of the harder things to do would be to declutter your thoughts and also maintaining that peace of mind once you declutter those thoughts. We tend to give so much attention to things that don't necessarily deserve our attention. In other words, you can say we give out too many fucks. In reality, we need to minimize the amount of fucks we give out. If you only have 5 fucks a day to give out and they don't roll over, would you give a fuck that somebody you knew in high school but no longer talk to is dating someone else that you knew in high school but you no longer talk to? Nah, I don't think so. So, in other words, you have to spend time prioritizing what matters most to you. A lot of things in life don't help you grow as a person. In my opinion, those things that don't help you grow, those people that don't help you grow, they don't deserve your attention. So when you know what matters to you, you begin to filter out what doesn't matter, which in turn allows you to simplify your thoughts. And when things are simple, you can live and let live. Sometimes the sacrifices that you have to make to find your peace of mind, sometimes they're like really big sacrifices. And you got to sit there and actually weigh out the pros and cons. I like to say you can't put a price on peace of mind. And peace of mind is knowing your self-worth, knowing your value, and putting yourself in a position to succeed. So if you remember those three things, you will realize that your peace of mind, it is worth so much more. And you can't let anybody take that away from you. So sometimes, even though the sacrifices may seem grave or extremely like strenuous or just enormous, the sacrifices are going to be worth it if they grant you peace of mind. Sometimes we allow ourselves to become stagnant because we don't have that peace of mind. We don't know what we are able to control. We don't know our worth. But once you find it, again, don't let anybody take that away from you. Thanks for listening, guys. I really appreciate it. I'm going to try to get another episode out maybe this week. But Rashard and I are definitely going to try to link up this weekend and get a good episode for you guys out as well. As always, you can find me on Instagram at All I Do Is Fit. Snapchat at All I Do Is Fit. You can find me on Facebook, Taekwon Leno. And you can also find me or just email me at allidoisfit@gmail.com. Thank you guys for listening. Good night.